The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Real Life Real Crime is a true crime podcast brought to you by Woody Overton and executive producer Toby Templey.
Silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney prior to and during any question. You can't afford one to court appoint one for you. You understand your rights?
Your crime spree was over, son. Yeah. Thought you had it licked, but Detective Overton made you sure to turn to shit. Get ready, you're gonna do time. Real life, real crime.
Warning, this episode of Real Life Real Crime, the podcast, may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that are of a sexual nature. It should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off the internet or from some television show. The facts we're retelling you were presented to us by the victims of the crimes or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My description of the crime scenes are what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're going to get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you. Hello, everybody. It's Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And today, I have a Detective Rabelais from Texas, who was the original investigating officer on Courtney Coco's case. Y'all, you were listening to us last week, and I still have Detective Rabelais on the phone, and we're just getting into the meat of why Courtney Coco's murder wasn't solved for 16 and a half years. And you know, but David, we're talking about your health. You know, first of all, we disclosed for the first time that the Courtney's body dump site, for lack of a better word, is right across the street from your house. You got to see it every single day. And this is the one case that you never got the closure on.
You know, like you said, when I leave my house to go to work in the mornings or to go to the grocery store on the weekends or to go anywhere, I see it. When I'm on my mower and I'm mowing my grass, I see it.
Oh, man. Yeah.
When I'm out in my garden, you know, picking vegetables, I see it. It's there. It's like a sticker in your finger that you can't get out. It's there. It's there, and you know it all the time, 24/7. You know it.
Right, right. And you can't get away from it. There's no escaping it when it is literally right across the street from you. You know. But you wouldn't have had to suffer for 16 and a half years with the nightmares. And you tell me, I'm gonna tell you something. I'm no medical doctor. But if you have nightmares and have to, the stress kills people, man, and thinking of things. And you had, I don't know, how many heart attacks?
Well, I've had two real heart attacks, and the third one was just heart surgery because I was fixed to have another heart attack.
Jesus.
And so 2.5 heart attacks and three heart surgeries, five bypasses.
During that 15-year period, right? Or 16-year period, whatever.
But, you know, it's not just the stress. It's the heart attacks. It's the depression.
Right.
I was put on depression medicine 2 or 3 different times. And I'm telling you, thank God for that medicine and those doctors, because I was feeling pretty low. I mean, I was feeling like I failed the family. I was feeling like I failed Courtney. And I was just beating myself up left and right. And depression, of course, you know, when depression sets in, so does everything else.
Absolutely.
Anxiety and stress and all that stuff will kill you. It'll kill you.
It'll kill you if you don't end up killing yourself.
You know, right now I'm on 21 different kinds of medicine for my heart, for anxiety, for my diabetes. I mean, you know, for stress. For all that stuff. And I thought to myself, I wouldn't have to be on half of this crap.
Right.
You know, I mean, okay, yeah, you know, I'll give it to you. I may have had a heart attack anyway. Probably would have.
Yeah.
But probably not as many and not as bad.
Yeah.
And the depression and the anxiety and everything else that, you know, that goes with it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk that back in the day again, over probably... 20 months or so ago when I came out there and sat in your house, we talked about the first time and you told me about the nightmares and you would, you know, you would see Courtney in your dreams and then you would get up and scare the shit out of you so bad you'd get up and you didn't want to go back to sleep. I mean, you think that's not harmful for your health, brother?
I mean, you can't go back to sleep because it's rolling through your mind.
Right.
And then, you know, you get an hour and a half, 2 hours sleep a night for 3 or 4 nights in a row and then have to go work. It pulls on you.
Yeah,
it does,
and then your body ultimately is going to wear out.
And your body just says, "Hey, brother, we got to stop. We got to."
Right.
And that's what I would do. I would go 3, 4, 5 days with hardly any sleep at all, or hardly eating, and then all of a sudden my body would just crash, and I'd just have to, I was going to go fishing this weekend, but I'm not leaving this bed.
Right.
I've got to get some sleep. I've got to get some food in me.
Right.
You know, I've got to get my stuff together.
Right.
You know,
and that could be part of the depression too. You know, you lose interest in the things and that you normally would be interested in and all that. But it didn't have to happen.
That's the sad part. It didn't have to happen.
Yeah.
That family did not have to go through what they went through.
Yeah.
I didn't have to go through what I went through. You wouldn't have to do what you did.
Yeah.
None of this would have happened if everybody would have been up front, straight, and honest.
And done their job, right.
And
been honest.
What they were paid to do.
Right. So I'm going to go back and recap just a little bit. You got called out to Courtney's murder scene or body dump scene. Y'all identified her from a class ring. You call in. You get Cedric Green. And he was like, you know, so what, right? And then it's yours. It's over there. And then you ask for the search warrant. He tells you, you ask, have you ever dealt with it before? And she's just an old crackhead. And then you ask for the search warrant. And then, you know, whatever. Oh, you get to make a trip to Alexandria. And he rides you around. He won't produce the witnesses that you want. You never got a copy until I showed it to you, a copy of the search warrant return with all the stuff that was, all the items that were taken from the party that night that could have been DNA tested. Yeah, matter of fact, you said
and that return was done, 14 and a half years before you even come to the picture?
Exactly. And there was some,
I know the mail's slow, but it ain't that slow.
Yeah, exactly. And there's some really, and we didn't touch on this on last week's episode, but there was some discrepancy on how long it took for them to even secure the house and do the actual search warrant. I don't remember exactly what it was, if it was 8 days difference on the search warrant return or when they applied for it, but it was something that I found it in, and I can't remember what it was. But you were never told about those items. All right, so you go to Alexandria. You basically, you got stonewalled, and you know, didn't you tell me about it? You say, hey, I want to talk to the boyfriend, and he would ride around and say, well, we had such and such happen here. Can you tell the listeners about that? He was telling, you told me like he was riding through some bad parts of town saying, well, we worked such and such over here.
Yeah, he would tell me, you know, oh, that's a little crack house right there. You know, we busted several people there several times. And this one here is an abandoned house. You know, all them dopers and winos go in there and they sleep. And, you know, we're going to arrest them. We're running out. And, okay, cool. And I'm thinking, I don't give a damn. Where's
exactly. And meanwhile, you're sitting.
Where's the guy I'm asking for? Okay, I understand this is the piss poor side of town. And if he's a dope dealer and a doper, this is probably where he hangs out. But you can't tell me that you're a seasoned police officer with this department, probably raised in this damn city, and you don't know where this man is or where he hangs out.
And he supposedly fires right off the bat that, you know, the day you worked her body, that she's a crackhead. So that implies he knows her and she's a crackhead. Yeah. So that implies he knows them all, right? And but here's the deal, y'all. Put yourself as a detective coming from Texas. You think you're going to show up. I have never, and David, I've worked with so many different jurisdictions, especially when I was with the state police. I never.
You jumped through the hoops,
man. Absolutely. You come to my house, we are going to take care of you. I'm going to show you how much street knowledge I got. You want what, and what? Watch it happen, Captain, because I'm going to blow it up for you, right? I have never heard anybody. So I can only imagine you're sitting in the passenger seat, and you're thinking, what the fuck? You know, every town has the bad side of town. I mean, let's go get this. You know, he would be fired up about working the case like you are.
Where all these crackheads hang out. I want to know where this one hangs out.
This is a murder case. And he's just driving around lollygagging, but I mean, putting you off.
Blowing smoke.
And that's what you told me. I mean, obviously I wasn't there. But and obviously I believe you. So tell me how bad it got. Tell everybody again. Because we have a lot of people, David, that started listening since the arrest has been made, and they're not going to go back and listen to every episode. But tell them about you coming to Alexandria at different times and the runarounds and finally what your sheriff ended up doing.
Well, I went, if I'm not mistaken, it was three times I went, and it was two or three days at a time, which, you know, cost my department money. I had to find somebody to stay with my kids, my boys, and all that to go over there, but I didn't mind because I thought, okay, we gotta get this, you know, we gotta get this nailed down. We gotta get it done. But every single time I come over there, it was just, you know, just like a party to them. It was a joke. They didn't show no more interest. I asked them if they could, Green's partner there, the polygraph operator.
Yeah.
He said they got this new test. It's, I'm sorry, but I can't remember what they called it. It worked off your,
the voice stress analysis.
Your voice stress analysis.
Which is crap.
Well, they told me that Lace failed it. They told me Stephanie failed it. They told me Stephanie's husband failed it. I said, cool. Can I get a copy of it? There again, no copy. I still don't know if they even really took the test, which I doubt they did. But, you know, and then and I finally kind of started talking to the family about, I don't think I'm getting good cooperation over here. I mean, you know, the police are lying to me. I'm working with Green. Green wouldn't let me work with anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Because he could control
it. Last time I went up there, I went over to the sheriff's office and went into the sheriff's office, the sheriff. And I told him, this is what I'm here for. This is my, you know, second, third, or fourth time to be here for this. I'm not getting any cooperation from APD. I understand that some of your guys have started kind of touching on the case. I said, I'm getting jerked around and I'm getting lied to from your guys. And I said, can you, you know, what is the deal? And that's when he told me, I'll tell you what, I'm going to assign, he called some detective in. I'm going to assign this guy to personally stay with you and to work this case with you. And I said, okay. And for 2 days, I stayed. And every time I thought, hey, let's go find Jenny, or let's get Jackie, Judy's sister, under a polygraph, because she lied to me on a statement. You know, in Texas, that's perjury.
Right.
She told me that they run her and Courtney rode around and smoked dope until they picked her boyfriend up at Sonic, where he worked, for his break. Well, how she smoked dope all damn night and not have none in her system? You know, I can prove that you lied.
From the autopsy. That's right.
Nobody there again. Nobody knew where she was. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew where she hung out. You know, every time I would come up with a trail to follow, they drop a roadblock in front of it.
Yeah.
Not as obvious as APD did, but they did. And I thought, y'all are covering for the PD. And I started thinking at one point, I'm going to get my ass out of here before I end up not being found.
Right.
You know, and I went back and I talked to my sheriff. My sheriff said, well, look, you know, three trips up there, the motel, the food, the gas, your time away from your cases here in your jurisdiction.
Exactly.
He said, you know, we're not that big of a department. We just can't afford it anymore. He said, why don't you call the Texas Rangers? And that's what I called, you know, the Texas Rangers.
Right.
That's when I said, Skylar Hearn called me. Mm-hmm. Skylar Hearn called me back within an hour. What you got? And I told him. And everything started popping over here. I mean, you know, it didn't take long to find her car in Houston. It didn't take long to ping her cell phone.
Yeah, hey, tell them about that, David.
We started knocking on doors. Had people run from us. Now, and I'm thinking to myself, I've been trying to do this with Alexandria PD for, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 weeks. I got more done in 5 days over here in Texas, you know, than I got over there in Louisiana where it happened at. Where do you think it happened at?
Hey, real quick. So let's talk about that. The Rangers come in and tell us how you worked it. I know the things that happened, but lay it out again, because I got some points to make here when you do it. Go ahead.
Well, I turned the case over to the Texas Rangers, and I talked to Skylar, you know, a couple of times in the next few days. He would call me and ask me questions, and I'd tell him, well, you know, this is as much as I can answer you because APD wouldn't give me the answer, blah, 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 blah. Her car's missing. The comfort of her bed is missing. You know, he said, okay. He said, well, I did a little bit of digging. He said, I think we may have found the car in Houston at some projects, you know, low-income housing. Mm. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, the apartment's called it in as an abandoned one to tow it off where they ran the license plate. It was shown as, wanted car, stolen or wanted, whatever. Mm. And he said, I'm fixing to go out there and look. Do you want to go? And this is like 8 o'clock at night. I said, hell yeah, I want to go. Mm. So we drive to Houston, and the car, we inventory it. You know, we didn't touch anything because we were going to haul it back to DPS's crime lab and let their forensic guy process it, see if we can get any fingerprints off the steering wheel. And, you know, there was right. cigarette butts in the ashtray, but there's DNA, okay.
Right.
So we didn't touch nothing. We had it towed. And we went back to the to their shop, and this guy's collecting cigarette butts with, a baggie and tweezers, and he's spraying Luminol in the trunk. He found blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, you know, man, we're picking up a trail now. This is great.
Right.
You know, piss on APD. I don't need them.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, it ended up the cigarette butts came back to a guy who since then had gotten, I think, his parole revoked or something, and he was in prison in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And I went to talk to him. The warden let me talk to him. And he told me the only thing he knew was a black guy, big tall guy they called Tree. He was a dealer there in Houston over in Fifth Ward.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay. He said, man, he said, I'm going to lie to you. He said, I'm a crackhead and a meth head. I said, okay. He said, Tree told me he'd give me 3 rocks a day if I would just drive him around in his car. Mm-hmm. And he said, I drove him around for several days, he said, before I got, rearrested. He said, I didn't know where the car come from. I didn't know it was involved in a murder and all that.
Right.
Because, you know, I said, okay, well, that takes care of the cigarette butts. Well, the blood, the DNA from the blood in the trunk came back to an unknown black male, unknown white male, I believe. And it's, you know, we never got a match on it. And so everything just kind of, then we started pinging our cell phone. Well, her cell phone. The last time it was used was like 10 minutes before we pinged it. And it showed up to be in an apartment complex on the Allen Parkway there in Houston.
Hey, real quick. What were you told about the cell phone, Courtney's cell phone, by Cedric Green and them?
I asked him, I said, y'all subpoenaed her cell phone records. He said, yes. And, you know, that's my fault. I should have done that too, but I figured They did it. I got them. You know, we got them.
You were trusting them. You were trusting them.
I'd get them.
Yeah, and you're trusting, again, that you're dealing with somebody that's reputable, et cetera.
And who was the white guy's name that did the property and stuff that was involved?
I'm bad with names like you are.
Oh, my mind is just funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, he told me, he said, I got her cell phone. He said, I got some messages off of it. I said, really? Yeah, he said, I've recorded them and you know, transcribed them. I said, hey, that's great. I said, is there any with some guy named Tree? Is there any with Jitty? Is there any with Jackie? Is there any with, you know, her mama or her sister or, you know, oh, yeah, man, we got several of them from, you know, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, cool. I said, can you run me a copy of that transcript so I'll have it to put my case file? So he left. About 20 minutes later, he come back and said their copier was out of ink or some shit that he couldn't make a copy.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, I thought, okay. Well, you know, I said, hey, look, as soon as you can get that copied, if you would, send it to me, fax it to me, send it, you know, whatever you call me, I'll come pick it up.
Right.
Well, it was just like everything else. Woody was one excuse after the other why they couldn't give me a copy.
Yeah.
But, never got a copy of that.
But
never got to see yourself. Never got to touch yourself.
Let me talk to you about this again, and I'm sure you remember when we were talking that first day in the McDonald's and Winnie, and I got to the point of the cell phone, and I said, do you know that at approximately, and y'all, I'm going to get the times wrong, it's off the top of my head, that there were like 4 calls made at 3:00 in the morning to different numbers, and I think 1 or 2 of them clicked through for a couple minutes. Now, at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, if you calling somebody, it's either a booty call or you're in trouble, right? Back then, at that age, right?
Yeah.
But the deal is, I'm told you that the family told me when I asked them about this.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates. Mm-hmm. Maybe a robe or a framed photo, right. Boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. Cool. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
They asked APD about it. You know what Green told the family, or APD told the family? Oh, that Jackie had the phone and said she was dialing wrong numbers. Now, but hold on a second.
Yeah.
How in the hell does Jackie get Courtney Coco's cell phone, which ended up in Texas, first of all, at three whatever, you know, such time in the morning, and if you're dialing the wrong number, you might miss it by one or two numbers. These were completely different numbers and to different people, back to back succession, which, you know, but why would she have? And when your autopsy came back, and where we know, you know, approximate time of death, et cetera. Why would this girl have her phone? First of all, that wasn't fucking true. It obviously was just a bald-faced lie to put the family off. So that's why I want to ask you about the cell phone. Shit, y'all got it out of Texas, right?
Yeah, we got it out of Houston.
How in the hell did they have it?
But 7 or 8 blocks from where the car was found.
Exactly. And so why do they have it? And this, I'm fuck them. I'm gonna stick it to them. Why did they tell the family that her friend has the cell phone and has been using it? They questioned her about the numbers that were called, and she said, "Oh, well, there was just incorrect numbers." Didn't go talk to the people who she called or whatever. That's what they told the family. Now, you gotta remember, the family at the time is one to believe in law enforcement, like everybody should have a right to, and they took the word for it. And when you told me that y'all got it out of Houston, I'm like, wait, how the fuck? How do you get it out of Houston when she's already dead and this other girl's supposed to have her phone, making phone calls?
Yeah, and you were making phone calls 3 o'clock that morning when she was found at 7:30 that morning, 4 hours later.
Yeah.
And she'd been dead for at least 2 days, but right. According to, you know, looking at the DD comp and everything.
Right.
So, you know, that's what I was, I mean, just nothing fit. Nothing that APD told me fit with what I was seeing.
Right.
And, Woody, you know as well as I know, you can be a policeman and say all you want to say. You can think all you want to think. But until you see it and you can prove it,
right? It didn't happen. That's right. Didn't happen. That's right. Yeah. And so to the vehicle and the phone and all that, y'all, it is a simple fact of life. If I was going to kill you and I wanted to get rid of your vehicle, all I got to do is drive it into the nefarious part of town and leave the keys in the son of a bitch. And it ain't going to be there long because most of the people are walking around, et cetera, and they are, you better believe, the bad ones are looking in every car they go by. And if you leave the keys in it, and somebody might call me racist, I don't give a shit if you're white, black, purple, green. I'm just telling you, if you live in a bad part of town, you go leave your keys in the vehicle and leave it alone for an hour and see if it's there when you get back. It ain't happening.
I don't like hearing it, but that's just the facts of life.
What was that show they had on TV with my buddy Matt Potan out with NOPD, with bait car? They would literally drive a car into, you know, a section of town. Yeah. So when Detective Rabelais is saying that they found the vehicle and the projects and had this crackhead that said this dealer paid him to drive around, et cetera, hey, doesn't mean the dealer had dick to do with it, or the guy driving the car, or the guy that had her phone. I mean, it's a fact that they're going to go through, they're going to clean it of anything of value, and then they're going to use it until they lose it. So,
I mean, it's possible, because I kept thinking, how did he get to Houston? Then I thought, well, whoever killed her evidently was on their way to Houston for a dope run or something.
Right.
Because the place where they dumped her body right here is not a... It's a very dark farm-to-market road.
Exactly.
It's not, you know, it's not vacant, but it's not heavily traveled. But the house, when the sun goes down, that house across the street, you can't see it.
Mm.
Well, you can't now. Somebody's living in it. But
right.
At that point, you couldn't see it. And so I thought somebody was going down I-10 and said, man, look at me, that's a dark ass road there. That's
exactly.
You know, let's pull off here and we'll get rid of it and we'll go on and go to Houston and do what we got to do. And that's how this guy, Tree or whoever, ended up with the car.
Right. But real quick, so the listeners will know, y'all, when I went the first time before I met Dave at McDonald's, I drove, you know, past the location. I'm thinking, shit, this is like where I grew up, cow pastures and what. I can only imagine what it was like 15 years before then, right? So for them to pick that spot told me one of two things. Either it was like you said, and they were just like, holy shit, let's just get rid of it, and there's a dark road, or more, I can't say more like it, is like you said, or somebody that had very intimate knowledge of that street and that block, or, you know, that little loop around to interstate.
Many times.
You, how the hell are you going to pick that place out in the middle of the night? I mean, yeah. You just can't. How do you know that somebody's not asleep inside the garage, or their kids aren't camping out inside the garage, and you're just going to pull in and do it? And to me, when I saw that place, and all it had been redone and everything, but I saw the original crime scene photos and where it was, and I'm thinking, are you fucking kidding me? I'm not going to take a chance. Now, given that prisons are full of dumbasses, and it's hard to catch a smart criminal, but I'm not going to take a chance in just backing up and putting a body out in the spot that, you know, that I don't know anything about. You know, that dog would hunt with me. But yeah, the Texas part, running dope, yeah, sure, absolutely. So we kill somebody, and that's the only other plausible theory. And then the car ends up in Houston, which, if I'm a smart criminal, that I'm going to throw the Louisiana. First of all, I'm going to drive across state lines, and I'm going to dump Courtney. Secondly, you better believe I'm going to dump her car down in the project somewhere where I know it ain't going to last 5 minutes for somebody rides it around. And they're going to ride that son of a bitch to death until it comes back. Somebody gets it on a traffic stop, and it comes back as being stolen out of Louisiana. But if you're trying to get rid of evidence, somebody knew what the fuck they were doing.
Yeah.
So.
You're right. Because, I mean, you've been over here. You've seen where I live. I mean, it's it's about 150 yards off I-10, but...
But you can't see it. You can't see it. There's no way. No way.
You know, and like this little farm to market road, it's just, you know, it's traveled more during the day by farmers. You know, farmers go into town to get stuff, or riding their tractor from one pasture to another, or, you know, this or that, or, you know, it's not just, I mean, everyday people. When I say not everyday people, it's not just Joe Blow riding down, you know, this farm to market road. It's so you're right. Somebody had to, like I said, either they took a hell of a guess and saw that it was dark, or they knew exactly where the hell they were going.
Right. Well,
and had to know that damn house was empty.
Exactly.
Been there before.
Yep. And you know, just, you never make me believe otherwise. But it is what it is. So, Houston, y'all took the phone out of a guy's pocket on the street. Yeah, I'm talking about Courtney's phone.
Right.
And this is the same phone when the family asked Green and him about it. He said that Jackie had been on it. They asked about the phone, specifically what looked like to be almost panic phone calls at 3-something in the morning.
Trying to get somebody real quick.
Right. And they asked about it, rightfully so, and he tells them, oh, no, she had it. The friend had it, and she just dialed a couple wrong numbers. Well, family night. They'd never been through a homicide before. They'd never dealt with anybody that's not legitimate. Everybody wants to believe in the cops, and you never were told about that. They never told you that they told the family that the girl, the girlfriend, her best friend had it. And the kicker of that is, this is the same girl who lied to you on a statement, which is a criminal charge. You can lie to a cop in Louisiana, unless it's a fed, you can lie to a cop in Louisiana all day long. You lie to a cop in Texas, your ass is going to jail.
Well, that's why we have on our statements, we have you swear, raise your hand and swear that it's true. We have you proofread it before you swear it's true. And then we notarize it. We have you sign it, and we notarize your signature.
Right.
That way, there's no way in hell you can't say, go to court and say, no, I didn't give that statement. That's not me. Well, the hell it ain't. I mean, look here.
Right. But don't you think you would have questioned her about those phone calls had you known about them?
Oh, in a heartbeat.
All right. And so you never got the phone records, which you requested. You never got the search warrant return, which you requested. You never...
Never got a copy of their case file, period.
Never got... That's right. The copy of their case file. You never got... they stonewalled you on... You know, when you came to town the numerous amounts of times expecting to get help. You never got a copy of these alleged polygraph reports or the voice stress analysis test.
I did. Let's go back to a second.
Right.
I say, excuse me, right. I say I didn't get a copy of their case file. Green gave me a copy of the report that the original officer that went to the house the first time when I called and they went to the house.
Uh-huh.
He did a report, a little narrative.
Yeah.
I got a copy of that, and then I got a copy of a couple of narratives that Green supposedly did several months after that. They were just, 4, 5, 6 lines.
Right.
They weren't, that's not a case file.
Right, and let's...
And that's all I got. I didn't get any of, like you said, the polygraph. I didn't get any of the search warrant. I didn't get any of the important stuff that I needed.
It's safe to say that whatever Green gave you didn't solve the case.
No, it didn't. It was just enough to, it's like a kid crying for candy. You give him just enough to shut him up and them on.
Yeah.
And I knew what he was doing at that time, but I thought, if I go off on this guy and just tell him, how the horse eats the cabbage,
right,
he's going to shut down totally. At least right now, he's still talking to me.
Right.
So I got to play his game for right now.
Right. And then back to it. Meanwhile, you Texas Rangers on fire. Y'all start rolling with it. You get the driver of the car. You get the guy with the cell phone, and what else happened?
Lord have mercy. We chased two or three other people. Like I said, we went to those apartments on Allen Parkway. Well, that guy, his mama was trying to hold us at the door while he bolted out the side door.
Huh.
We never did find him, but it was, there was two or three other places where the cell phone was pinged at, and we went to all those addresses, and finally about 3 o'clock in the morning, we were just, all of us had worked all day and then had been out all night. We were just exhausted. So we went back to the DPS crime lab where the car was. And we were looking at the car now that the forensic guy had all his stuff done and all that. We said, okay, well, we went and looked at the car, and then we came back over here.
Right. Yeah, but but back to it, like the cell phone and the guys running or whatever. Look, if I'm a drug dealer and you show up at my house, I don't know which reason you're showing up for this time, and my mama's I can assure you it's not the first time his mama stalled while he bailed out a window or whatever, that he didn't know that y'all were looking behind. The car would have been a crack loaner. Like a lot of times crack dealers will actually pay people, crackheads that own a car, and I used to take so many reports, David, from people that take their parents' car and go down and get crack, so the dealer could drive the car around for a day or two, and then at the end of the weekend, the kid would be like, "Hey, I'm gonna tell my mom it's stolen on Monday," and they would ditch the car. Yeah, crack rental. That's right. And the same thing with the cell phone. It's big. It's currency. It's currency.
Okay, look, and the guy we took it off of, I think, told us, "I don't know. I bought this from some guy named Tree." I said, "I don't know it's Tree."
Right.
When you bought it. Yeah, for $50. I said, "Well, how do you keep it going, without paying the bill or charging?" Oh, it was fully charged when I got it. We just used it till the battery died.
Exactly. And it didn't.
And that's what they do. They don't pay the monthly bill.
I think you pinged it or something, and the battery died like right after you got it out of his pocket or something like that. If I remember correctly,
that was to an apartment over there in the projects. And we went to that apartment, and the person that used to live in that apartment was evicted, was moved out, and had several stolen checks that she wrote to the electric company for her electric bill that bounced, that were reported stolen, so they weren't covered. And the energy company had charges filed against her, but we never could get her real name. The name she rented the apartment under was bogus.
Yeah, and then,
nobody could tell us where she went or how she went or anything else.
Off our checks, and she kept the checkbook in her car. Again, they got to clean the car and use anything they can. But none of that.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. John White, WebMD's Chief Medical Officer and host of the Spotlight On series from WebMD's Health Discovered podcast. For this special two-part episode, you'll hear up close and personal journeys about being diagnosed with a rare type of cancer, multiple myeloma.
I started in myeloma nearly 25 years ago. And at that time, the average expectation of life in someone with myeloma was maybe 1 to 2 years. But even just in this last 10 to 12 years, we have doubled, if not tripled, the average survival of patients. I saw a new patient this week, and we had this conversation that based on what we've done over the last decade, my expectation is that patient's going to live more than 10 years.
Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Or you tell me, what did all this lead to? Ultimately, what happened?
Well, it ultimately led us back to Louisiana, to APD. Hey, this is what we got. This is what we found. This is what we need y'all to do. We need to, this guy that the DNA from the cigarette butts came, do y'all know him? Oh, yeah, we know. Yeah, we dealt with him. Okay, do you know where to find him? Where can I get my hands on? Well, Green, just like that, he just popped up. Well, he's in the pen.
Yeah. If you remember his name, don't say it in case there's something in the prosecution. Go ahead. He tells you he's in the penitentiary. You want to talk to somebody and they can't produce him.
Right.
So,
and then that's when things just really started going south. That's when Green really started avoiding me, lying to me. The chief of police put me with I can't remember his name, the white guy that did property, put me with him for a little while. He kind of jerked my chain, and I figured out real quick he was jerking my chain. So right. I went to my sheriff. My sheriff called their chief and bitched about it. And the chief said, we're going to get somebody on it. Right? I'm going to assign this case to two of my best detectives. And it was just game after game after game until it just finally just kind of, like you said, it for them and John Q. Public, it just went by the wayside.
Right.
It disappeared. It was, they did what they accomplished to do. They smoked just enough smoke in the air for you to know there's a fire, but they would never let you find it.
Right.
And then eventually, like I said, it became a cold case. The public forgot about it. I didn't forget about it.
Exactly.
The family didn't forget about it.
Right.
And then years and years and years go by, and here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are at the spot we could have been at 16 and a half years ago.
Right. It's just so, such a shame.
I'm just glad, and I thank God I lived with my heart trouble and everything that I lived long enough to see it.
I know. I remember meeting you the first time and you telling me that you just wanted to live long enough to see it. And that's one of the things that really got me. And I'm damn sure you're still amongst us, brother. I'm damn sure glad that you're still amongst us is what I meant to say.
Well, you were there. You know how some cases just kind of get in your heart and your soul, and you can't leave them alone.
I do.
You're trained not to take it personal.
Right, right.
But some of them just rip your heart out and make you think, I'm not quitting on this one. I'm not giving up. But, there's got to be a way around. There's got to be a way around this fence that I'm standing in front of.
Right, right. But I could tell you what.
But legally, there's only so many things you can do.
That's right. But
I wanted to be as crooked as them.
Yeah. Hey, David, I never have one that I had to look at every single day like you do. Where the body was, where you actually worked it right across the street from your house.
Well, like I said, I mean, every time I mow my grass or anything else, Courtney's that picture of me walking up there that first day, that picture of her body snaps into my mind.
Yeah.
And Miss Stephanie, I'm telling y'all right now, I'm very sorry, but that look on her face, with the decomposed face.
Right.
The first thing I thought, and the first thing I think every single time I see it is, oh my God, that's somebody's child.
Oh man. Yeah. I know.
I mean, you could tell she was young. You could tell she was young, but
yeah.
I don't know. I guess in comparison, I guess it would be like looking at, looking at a pile of cow crap or a wad of maggots right before you eat supper every night.
Right. Yeah.
That's about the effect you get.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah.
But that's my cross. We all got crosses to bear. I guess that's mine. And
well,
thank God he gave me the strength to get through it. A couple of times I didn't think I was, but
yeah,
I'm here.
You're here, man. And
I'm all busted up, but I'm here.
Hey, you're here, and a jury of David Anthony Burns' peers and the state of Louisiana have indicted him for second-degree murder.
Okay, I tell you, I didn't know that he had been indicted. Okay, that's what I was
wondering. Indicted True Bill, second-degree murder, which under Louisiana law, I don't know how it is in Texas, under Louisiana, that is the most serious charge you can get besides the death penalty. And the only thing, the only outcome of the sentence is life without parole, probation or parole in Angola, okay? So you know there's going to be a trial. No defense attorney is going to plead their client to life in prison. I mean, shit, why not take a trial? It's a free shot. But the fact that you are here, the fact that a jury... Now, look, the dude threatened me, David, did some videos to say he'd been sending messages or whatever over the period of the year and something, but I didn't care, and I still don't care. And I mean, I'm not hard to find. But like,
how many times in your career have you had?
Oh yeah.
I get out and look you up.
Oh yeah. Plenty. I've had.
If I thought you were smart enough to read, I'd give you my address.
Hey, that's the story for another day. But I actually had them offer up from inside the jail kilos to get me. You know, but this guy got on Facebook and did a rant. And like, I don't know if he's on meth or heroin or whatever it was at whatever time in the morning, or if he's under influence anything, but whatever. It says all this stuff, how he's coming to get me and all this. And this was like a week or 10 days before the grand jury, which I already knew about. But and I'm just laughing. Yeah, but I get hundreds and hundreds of messages of this video. And this turd leaves it up. And then changed his profile to Superman, and he says things in the video which absolutely he is going to go down for that. Right. I know for a fact, and I can't share any of it. I know for a fact they've been disproven, or in his comments. That was the worst part. His comments, all the lifers jump on his ass when they share it amongst themselves. And they are just tearing him up. And look, he's no mental genius, okay? But he answered he got in arguments in the comments with every one of them. And those comments, you better believe he fucked himself.
Gave himself up.
Oh, my God. And look, in his big, long video, not one word was about Courtney. It was about some of you people out there just think you can make up all these stories. Never said... you destroyed my life and all this stuff, but never says, hey, you know what? If it had been me, I'd been like, you got me fucking wrong, and I'm damn sorry that Courtney Coco was murdered, but it wasn't me. He never said her name.
Damn sure wasn't me, and yeah. I'm willing to take a photograph, do whatever it takes to clear me.
Absolutely, and so, you know what? He can do whatever he wants to. I don't care. I truly do believe it's going to be a bit of a cat fight, and that's okay, too, because I also believe that they didn't take the last year and a half gathering evidence unless they know that they're going to come correct, you know. But my fear was...
The only thing that scares me I was about is to say it. Go ahead. The jury's going to think, you know, why 16 and a half years?
Exactly.
Why didn't, something don't smell right here. But
yeah.
You can't explain that to them until you start investigating the corruption within the PD.
So what I'm going to say on that is that you better believe that they have answers for
everything.
Exactly right. I mean, Hugo Holland, he's got over 200 and I think 50 or 60 death penalty in life cases, and that's all he handles. There's a reason he was brought in. All right. But I'm going to leave that alone and let them do their jobs. And I'm damn glad somebody had the nuts to step up and do it. I'm so glad for the family. I'm so glad for you.
Courtney and the family.
I'm so glad.
You know, I really believe. I know I was raised in, backwoods Louisiana, Canadian Catholic.
Right.
I know for a fact there is a heaven, there is a hell, there is a God.
Absolutely. And there's the devil.
You know, I honestly don't think Courtney was in hell. I think Courtney was in between because her soul couldn't rest enough to go to heaven.
Yeah.
And didn't deserve to go to hell until this arrest was made.
Right.
When this arrest was made, I think she knocked on the gates and told St. Peter, tell God I'm here. Thanks for waiting.
I got goosebumps from the heads of my toes, Brian, when you said that.
You know, and the family, my goodness gracious, I can only imagine. Like I said, I just keep thinking, what if that was my child?
I know.
I'll tell you right now, thank you for the, like you said, Detective Hunter, all them who worked the case finally.
Yeah.
Really worked it.
Yeah.
Thank you for the DA for, issuing the warrant for arrest. Thank you for getting the indictment.
Yeah.
And, Stephanie and Miss Ina and, Lee and all of y'all, my God Almighty in heaven, bless y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Bless y'all and thank y'all for every single thing that you helped me with and the pep talks you gave me to help carry me through the bad times and everything else. Y'all are just great people and I love y'all. And I just want to thank everybody. And Woody, thank you and all your lifers who really, they make a difference. People don't think that the public can make a difference, but they can.
Yeah.
It just takes the balls. I'm sorry, but it takes the balls to stand up on your own two feet and say, I don't care who this pisses off. I'm telling the truth. I'm going to say something.
Especially when they know their lies and they didn't have the killer is still out there and they know their lives can be at risk. But, what I want to say I'm thankful for, because I've already said about the family and the lifers, I am so thankful, brother, that you got to see it. And I'm thankful that you're here, and I'm thankful that God put you and I together. Who knows how he works, man? That I quit trying to question that a long time ago, but I'm going to promise you this. If I get there before you, you get there before me. I know somebody's going to be, I don't know, one sweet little baby, Courtney Coco, is going to be waiting to give me a hug and a kiss. And that's all that matters to me.
I look as forward to that as I do my mom and daddy.
Exactly. You better believe she's going to be there, brother.
With a big smile on her face.
I see it.
And that halo above her head just saying, I've been waiting on you, fat boy. Where you at?
I see it, right? And I carry your picture in my truck and keep a picture on the bedside of my table. And now, I used to talk to her. I used to say, man, Courtney, just give me a little help, you know? And then especially in this last year and a half, I'm like, help. I know you're an on-time guy. So do something. But he did it. And it's such a blessing for the family, and especially for the people who've been carrying the burdens, you and the people who love justice. That's what I care about.
It just goes to show you got your good and bad in every profession.
Exactly.
I'm not gonna sit here and lie to you and tell you every cop is perfect. They're not. They're just
right.
You got bad doctors, bad lawyers, bad policemen. Right. Bad real estate agents. You got bad in everything.
Right.
But I just really believe that the good Lord up above made all of this, all the right, rise above all the wrong, right, and get this done.
Yeah. And I believe that too. I believe it in my heart. And I'm going to get off that. When you and I get off the phone in I'm not done talking about it this time, and I'm sure we'll probably both get called to trial at some point or whatever. But other than that, I'm done talking about it. I just want the world. I'm not done talking about it. That's the exact opposite of what I meant to say. The spotlight, just done getting the start to shine the spotlight on it. I am never going to shut up about it. It's not about the guys who actually did the work now and are going to get the conviction. Hey, kudos to them. But the people that made it last this long, somebody needs to pay for that, Brian.
You're 100% right. I mean, there's those officers put other people, other officers, and they put the family and other human beings through hell on earth.
Yeah.
For years.
Well,
I'm not kidding you. I mean, I'm sure the family, you know, did too at some point, but boy, there were several times that I just thought I was about as worthless as ashes off a cigarette. You know, I mean, I just,
right.
Okay, well, I'm no good. I failed. I wasn't good at my job. I didn't do enough. I wasn't smart enough. You start getting that depression sets in, and you learn to live with it after a while. It's, you know.
Right.
I was even thinking at one time here about a year and a half ago, I was planning on moving to Wyoming, but where I go hunt.
Right.
Or used to go hunt. I hadn't been in the last few years, but I thought, I'm just going to get the hell away from here. I'm getting the hell away from everything.
Yeah.
But my kids, my four boys, said, Dad, you can't, you know, with your heart and everything. If something happens, you're 24 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I thought, well, you know, I guess they're right. You know, I tried to put myself where I was. When I was 13, and my daddy died.
Right.
My kids aren't 13. They're grown adults. But, you know, I mean, you don't want somebody calling you saying your daddy's dead, and you got to go 24 hours to get there.
Yeah, I know.
So I said, okay, what the hell, and I stayed. But it's still, you know, it, I don't know. It's not just me. It beats a lot of people, but,
yeah,
I'm glad it's solved. I really am. I'm a big boy. I'll take the beatings. I made it through it.
Right.
Just as long as somebody's in jail for it and we get a conviction for it, and justice is served.
That's right.
And Courtney can rest and the family can finally hold their head up and smile.
Right. That's it, man. That's it. That's what's important. And
I mean, who did it? Don't make a damn.
Right.
And myself personally, if you got to go 2, 3, 4 years from now, try to apply for another department or something and say, oh, well, I'm the one that closed the cocoa case over now.
Oh, no,
if
I wouldn't.
You gotta do that,
I wouldn't do that anyway. Right. And
well, it was your job. That's all you did was your job. That's
right.
All you did.
Yeah. Yeah, and I could give a shit less about that. I want to be there when they drive that asshole to the gates of Angola on the bus, and I'm gonna be there waving at him, and I'm gonna be there Friday morning. I think I just found out that I'm not gonna get to be in the courtroom because of COVID, which is bullshit. Well, I'm not saying COVID is bullshit. I'm taking my second shot tomorrow morning, but the thing is, before I leave to go to Alexandria, but they say they're restricting the courtroom to family members only. But that ain't got shit to do with COVID, because I was in Rapides in court on a consulting case a couple weeks ago, and you know, of course they had spacing out, but I just don't believe they want everybody in there. Period. So, but I'm gonna be outside. If they don't let me, I'm gonna try to get in, but I'm gonna be outside regardless, and I'll be there for
sure
you.
There's gonna be some points brought up that they don't want nobody to hear.
Absolutely. But but what I'm saying is, I'll represent for you and I both, just off the basis of, you know, we care, right? And she's not forgotten, and we're not gonna rest until he goes through the gates. But hey.
She'll never be forgotten.
That's right.
Not by me.
True bill for second degree murder is a hell of a good start.
Yeah, that's a good start.
By jury, your peers, grand jury, indictment. So, and I'm gonna send you a copy of it, David. I have a copy of the indictment, and then so the thank you so much, man, for taking your time. I know you worked all day today, and I appreciate you. And then,
glad to do it. Thank you.
I love you too, man. And when we get to Alexandria, when I'm gonna go to Alexandria do a live show, you know you're gonna get up on the stage with me.
Okay.
All right. And so everybody gets to see who David Ravalet is. Right.
Yeah, they might go, oh Lord.
They can do that anyway. They can do that to me, so I don't care. You don't care about that.
But
I don't want the lifers to get to see you, right? And then, because I mean, without you, and again, it wasn't about trying to say about bad police work or malfeasance or just being straight ass dirty. I was trying to work Courtney's case, and it just kept uncovering this bullshit, man.
And you
didn't
get hit in the face with rocks.
That's right, and I'm not going to sit there and take it. And the family should have taken it. You don't have to take it. You know, I mean, it just looks bad on everybody. But actually, it looks bad on them. But anyway, thanks so much, man. I love you, and appreciate you. It's been a long road, but I mean,
yeah, we're taking the exit now.
That's right. You gotta admit, it feels really good, man. I ain't gonna lie.
It does.
All right, it really does. All right, man. God bless you and take care. All right.
All right, brother. Appreciate it.
All right, peace.
Bye.
Bye. Whew, y'all. I know it's another long one.
Want to get 7 streaming services for the price of 1? Sign up for a smart bundle that'll stimulate your brain. Featuring Curiosity Stream with the best documentary films and TV shows. Nebula for thought-provoking content from your favorite creators. And One Day University with the best lectures from the country's top professors. And so much more. It's perfect for families with all kinds of interests. And great content for kids. It also makes a perfect holiday gift. Now at 40% off, get all 7 services for only $3.50 a month. Sign up now at smartbundle.com.
Looking for the fast track to career success that's built just for you? Apprentee's unique apprenticeship program puts you on an accelerated path toward your dream job in tech. Companies are now seeking apprentices in careers ranging from software developer to cybersecurity analyst, web developer to UX designer, and almost everything in between. A thriving career in technology is waiting for you at Apprentee. We help you get certified for your future. Learn more at apprenticecareers.org. That's apprenticecareers.org. Apprentee, paving the path for talent in tech.
You don't ever know what two old cops are going to say when they get together. But, you know, it really is about justice for Courtney. And this is the last time on the podcast, unless somebody does something stupid, and I have to bring it back up. It's the last time on the podcast I'm going to talk about that. But I just think it's so important that why it wasn't solved for so long. Thank God it's solved. And thank God Anthony David Burns, whatever his name is under arrest. Man, and I just will never for the life of me understand the bullshit that went on in the beginning of this case and this family having to suffer for 16 and a half years and Miss Stephanie and them having to suffer and be put through this, the grind of it and lied to and everything else. And you know what? I know the people I talked about negatively don't have any love for me, and I don't give a shit. I don't know them. All I know is what you've heard witnesses tell me. So I'm going to get off of it. You know, I love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. I just don't know what to say. I love y'all so much. And Patreon members, I love all lifers, but Patreon members, remember, the show wouldn't run without your support, and that goes all the way back to Courtney Coco to this day, and even more so this day, actually. But, you know, I just love and appreciate all of y'all. If you're a small business or you have a business and you want us to sponsor you, look at our commercials every week, y'all. I mean, these national companies keep using us over and over again because when we give those codes at the end, we get responses. Let's do it for some local and small businesses. And I've done some from some people in Louisiana. They've been having great response. And I love that. Other than that, the podcast stuff, you know, y'all know what all it is. Our Facebook is in the 35,000 on the private group. And then like us on the Instagram at Real Life Real Crime or at Overton Woody. All the podcast stuff I'm supposed to say, and I never say. Sorry. And I want to give a shout out to Black Sheep Creative, who run our website and do all of, I should have done it last week, do all that stuff for us, Clint, and they're excellent people, and they're veterans. And finally, because I've been on a marathon session with Davis, and LOPA, Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency, give the gift of life. Go to lopa.org website, sign up to be an organ donor. It doesn't take but a second or a couple minutes, and it doesn't matter if you're from inside the state of Louisiana or out, you can be an organ donor. And y'all, like my buddy Captain Calvin Duvall, Duvall's Cajun Charters out of Delacroix, Louisiana, best captain in the world, you know, his mama had to live for 5 more years because somebody donated their lungs. Think about that. 5 more years he got to have on his heart. That's one of a thousand cases that I could tell you. But it's just hugely important. And if you're in bigger country, if you're in Iceland, if you're one of our listeners in Iceland and you want to be an organ donor, go to lopa.org, click on it, sign up, be a hero. And I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. Until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Peace.
Get ready, you're gonna do time. Real life, real crime.
Real Life, Real Crime is a true crime podcast brought to you by Woody Overton and executive producer Toby Templey.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.